Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love only those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers and sisters, what's unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So you, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The whole point of Lent is to become like our Father who loves us. It's become godlike, fully Christian in identity and behavior. And that involves rediscovering and deepening our relationship with God the Father through Christ and the Holy Spirit. On Ash Wednesday, we pondered how Jesus calls us to give alms, fast, and pray differently from everybody else, doing each of these three things in communion with our Father who sees in secret. We're supposed to give alms, recognizing that all we're able to give to others we've first received from the loving providence of God the Father. And so our giving is an extension of His own giving. We're supposed to fast in order to hunger for what He hungers for. And what He hungers for is for all His sons and daughters to be cared for us to share our bread with the hungry, for us to release those who are unjustly bound, for us to go that second mile in caring for someone for whom somebody else doesn't care. We're supposed to pray by meeting God the Father in our own inner room, that locked storeroom in a Jewish house where all the valuables were kept, indicating to us not only that we're to treasure God most, but also to grasp His love in coming to meet us in the tiny closet of our interior life. Whether we're praying here on retreat or praying on our own in the middle of the innermost space of our abode. Lent is the time in which, with God's help, we reorder our relationship with the Father through prayer, our relationship with others through almsgiving, our relationship with ourselves through fasting and self-denial. It's a time to convert our hearts, our insides, our motivations, our aspirations, so that from the inside out, in all our actions, we might live as Christians ought in the love of God the Father. Lent is a time where we relive and retrace the parable of the prodigal son, when we come to our senses as to how we've treated God as if He were not a loving Father, through the sins that we've chosen, as if He were actually dead, squandering the inheritance of grace He's given to us, wandering far from His house, wasting the blessings that He's given us on a dissolute life. But coming to our senses, making the journey home, where He runs out to meet us, to cleanse us, to restore us to our full dignity, and to rejoice with us at our conversion. It's also a time where, if we haven't wandered far from the Father's house, but have remained within by not committing serious sins, but still aren't relating to Him with the love of a beloved son and to others as beloved siblings, like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, who never once disobeyed his father's orders, but failed to grasp the father's heart and joy at the return of his dead and lost son, that we too, this Lent, are called to enter into the loving logic of the Father, who has made us in His own image and likeness. It's a time when God the Father invites us to enter into His own merciful, loving heart and to become in action, and not just by baptism, His children. Lent, in short, is about becoming godlike, modeled on the Father. That's what today's gospel passage is about. Jesus puts an exclamation point on this Lenten and Christian calling. He tells us, therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Many times when we hear this, we're thrown off by the word perfect, especially when he calls us to be perfect in loving even our enemies. We think that this is an unachievable standard because, after all, none of us is perfect. None of us will ever be perfect. And therefore, if God is calling us never to make a mistake, to get 100 on every test, to hit a grand slam on every pitch, we're never going to make it. And therefore, we feel somewhat justified in dismissing what God is saying to us as if it's clearly impossible. Back on February 26th, Pope Francis said that Jesus' call seems like an unattainable goal. But before we ignore what Jesus is calling us to do, as if it's too hard and too high, as if he possibly couldn't have meant it, we should focus on a few things. First, the main emphasis of what Jesus is saying is, be like your heavenly Father. He's specifically calling us to be like him in particular ways in the gospel today. Earlier in the passage, he gave us specific exhortations so that we may be children of our Father in heaven, who makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus implies, and grasp this, Jesus implies that we will really not become children of God until we start behaving like God. That he can be our Father as he is by baptism, without our being his children, unless we experience the inner revolution to which Jesus is calling us, and unless we seek to act as his children, to behave like Jesus, who shows us how to live as a child of God. Just as God the Father loves everyone and does good to everyone, including those who curse him, including those who make themselves his enemy through sin and an evil life, including those who try to use him whenever they need him, Jesus calls us to do likewise, to love our enemies, to pray for those who are persecuting us, to walk the second mile, to give our cloak as well as our tunic, to give generously to all those who need to borrow. We're called to be good, to let our sun or life-giving rain fall, not just on those who are good to us first, but even on those who are not good to us, just like our Father does. This, Jesus tells us, is the path to true holiness. This is the means by which we become in action sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, by behaving as he behaves. On the other hand, we can't be like God the Father when we don't love others enough to forgive them when they hurt us, to pray for them when they're coming after us, to sacrifice for them when they're in need, to avoid all vengeance against them when they strike us on our cheek or otherwise hurt or offend us. Second, when he calls us to be perfect like our Father in loving our enemies, he's using a special word for love. You may know that there are four Greek words for love, and unless we know which word Jesus is using, we can get confused. First word is storge, the type of loving affection we have for those or those things that are familiar to us. It's the love we have, for the most part, for our brothers and sisters, unless they've really become our deep and close friends. It's the love we have for our cousins. It's the love we have for the friends we had growing up who we haven't really stayed into contact with. It's the love we have for things that are dear to us, like our house where we've lived in for 60 years, or for our favorite recliner that's comfortable and we can use it to pray. That's storge. Jesus is not calling us to love our enemies with this type of affection. Second form of love is philia, which is the love of friendship, a type of second self. There have been many saints who, over the course of the centuries, believed and practiced that the way not to have any enemies is to make one's enemies one's friends by befriending them, Cardinal François Xavier Nguyen Vien Thuan, great Vietnamese cardinal, imprisoned for 13 years, 9 in solitary confinement by the communists in Vietnam. He would always befriend his guards. They would cease to become his enemies and persecutors because he would be good to them and eventually win them over. But Jesus is not calling us to this type of friendship with those who have made the purpose of their life to hurt or persecute us. The third type of love is eros, which means romantic love. Jesus ain't calling us to marry our enemies. The word Jesus uses is agape, that specifically Christian form of love, the same word he uses during the Last Supper when he calls us to love others as he has loved us first. What does agape mean? It doesn't mean just self-sacrificial love. It means an unconquerable benevolence, an invincible goodwill for our enemies, that no matter what they do to us, no matter how they treat us, no matter how much they grieve or injure us, we will never allow bitterness against them to hijack our hearts. This means that the love to which Jesus is calling us won't be a thing of the emotions. It's not going to be a thing of the heart. It's going to be a thing of the will. We're going to have to will it because it goes against the grain. God's agape for us, loving us while we were making ourselves his enemies through sin, gives us the power to love those we don't like. This love for our enemies, this invincible goodwill, doesn't prohibit us from punishing others, from protecting ourselves against them. But it does require that when we do so to reform them and prevent their doing evil, rather than for vengeance. It's aimed at helping them rather than hurting them in return. And the way we learn how to love our enemies is by praying for them, which is why Jesus, after immediately calling us to have agape for our enemies, instructs us to pray for our persecutors. Because it's really hard to pray for someone and hate them at the same time. When we're praying for them, oftentimes we find reasons of why their injuries that they have suffered might lead them to be taking out their pains on us. Third, to understand what Jesus means when he calls us to be perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect, we have to grasp the Greek word St. Matthew employs. He uses teleios, T-E-L-E-I-O-S, which is an adjective that comes from the noun telos, which you may be familiar with. It means end or goal. Teleios, that adjective for perfect, means fit to achieve its end or its purpose. A hammer, for example, is teleios for pounding in a nail. A student is teleios when he's mastered the material, lives it, and can teach it to others. A microphone is teleios for amplifying sound. It's fit to achieve its purpose. When Jesus calls us, in fact, commands us to be teleios as our Heavenly Father is teleios, he's not intending that we engage in a type of errorless or sinless perfectionistic striving for the unattainable that will make us neurotics and destroy our spiritual, psychological, and physical lives. Rather, he's summoning us to order our lives to the same telos, to the same purpose and goal as God the Father. What is that goal of God the Father? That we might mature to full stature, to achieve the end for which we were made, which is what? Why are we here? Why were we made out of nothing but the love of the Creator? What's the purpose of our existence? It's to be fully in the image and likeness of God, to be holy as God is holy, to love as God loves, to be merciful as He is merciful, to behave truly as children of our Father. To be teleios means to behave like chips off the old divine block. In order to achieve this Christian perfection, which is fundamentally God's work, not our own. God doesn't leave us on our own, but He gives us all the help we need. Everything in our Christian life is meant to help us to become teleos. The sacraments are meant to help us to come to perfection by assisting us from within to become more and more like the one we encounter in the sacraments, Jesus, who feeds us with Himself, who forgives us our sins, who fills us with the Holy Spirit, who conforms us to Himself, who joins us in one flesh with another to become a true communion of persons in marriage and family, resembling the Trinitarian interpersonal communion, and who unites our own sufferings to His. The Word of God is meant to help us to become teleos by imparting to us God's wisdom and showing us the path to love like He loves. Prayer is meant to help us to become teleos by helping us to think as God thinks rather than the way everybody else thinks, to help us to say and desire that God's will be done rather than our own. The prayer that occurs in a retreat, prayer that's occurring right now, is meant to help us to become more and more like our Father. Our daily life, including our sufferings, is meant to help us to become teleos. This means that when someone slaps us on the cheek, or begs from us, or hates or persecutes us, all of it can be used by God to bring us to perfection. This was the path God the Father used to perfect His Son according to His humanity. The letter to the Hebrews tells us, although He was Son, He learned obedience through what He suffered, and being perfected, being teleos, He became the source of eternal life to all who obey Him. Jesus was perfected according to His human nature precisely through His suffering. He's perfected when He didn't retaliate against the brutal Roman soldier who slapped Him on one cheek, who mocked Him and put a crown of thorns on His head. When they took His tunic in order to scourge and crucify Him, He allowed them to take His cloak as well. When they compelled Him to walk with the cross on His shoulders, He continued for the second mile, helped by Simon of Cyrene. When He was being crucified, He cried out with love for His enemies and prayer for His persecutors, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And by His horrendous but salvific death, Jesus made salvation and sanctification possible. By what He won through His apparent defeat, He gained for us the graces to be able to love as He loves, to become not just a name but an action, children of the Father, living in the Father's image and likeness, just like Jesus exemplified. That's why to become perfected, to become holy, to become a true temple of God, we need to follow Jesus, not just partially, not just at a distance, not just picking and choosing the parts of His teaching that don't require a radical change on our part, but up close, fully, wholeheartedly. The entire Sermon on the Mount, as we see when we ponder the Beatitudes, is meant to lead us to true happiness, to true spiritual perfection as the sons and daughters of God. We need, however, not just to hear Jesus' message, but to believe it, to embrace it, and to put it into practice. We need to give God permission to do in us what He wishes to do in order to sculpt us into His holy image. Just like any father or mother wants to raise a child to fulfill all his or her potential, God wants to raise us to fulfill all the potential with which He created us. To become a saint, to become perfect as He's perfect, which will make us fully human and more divine. There are some Christians who want to pretend that there has to be another way, who believe that we can still please God, live a good Christian life, and get to heaven without taking Jesus' words today seriously and literally. Some of us want to believe that as long as we do a few good deeds, come to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation, pray a little each day, give something to the poor, go on an annual retreat with the sister servants, then that's all God is really asking and demanding of us. And then after we do those things, check those boxes, that we can go on living like everybody else lives. rather than striving for sanctity. We believe that if someone takes something from us, we're justified in taking his eye or her tooth. We're perfectly okay in slapping back someone who slaps us first. We're fine in loving only those who we think deserve our love, being generous only to those whom we trust, and vanquishing our enemy before he gets us. Today is the day, this retreat is the time, which Jesus wants us to recognize that this is not the way to human fulfillment. It's not the way of happiness. It's not the path to heaven. Pope Francis reminded us all on February 26th that Jesus asked those who would follow him to love even those who don't deserve it, without expecting anything in return, and in this way to fill up the emptiness present in human hearts, relationships, families, communities, and the whole world. Jesus, he said, didn't come to teach us good manners, how to behave well at the table. If that was all that he was trying to accomplish, he wouldn't have had to come down from heaven and to die on the cross. Christ came to save us, to show us the way, the only way out of the quicksand of sin. And this is the way of mercy. To be a saint, Pope Francis concluded, is not a luxury. It's necessary for the salvation of the world. Spiritually, we cannot be God's children without the interior revolution to which the Lord is inviting us here, to become for real in our action his children. The first reading today, Moses said to the Israelites, "This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes. Be careful then to observe them with all your heart and all your soul. Today you're making a covenant with the Lord. He is to be your God, and you are to walk in his ways and observe his statutes, commandments, and decrees, and hearken to his voice." Today the Lord Jesus wants us to observe all that he tells us in the gospel with all our heart and soul, to receive from the Lord the grace that we need to do so. God has made a covenant with us, the new and eternal covenant in his blood, here given for us, so that we from the inside might be helped by the beloved Son to live up to the standards to which he calls us, so that we, through, with, and in him, may become teleos, as he was teleos, and experience the blessedness of all those who follow the law of the Lord. Be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect, and receive the help you need to advance along that way to the Father's eternal embrace, likeness and image in his heavenly home. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.